Holy God, open our hearts to hear your call to us as we break open your word. Amen. You all know we're in the season of Pentecost, which goes from Pentecost Sunday in May to all the way to the first Sunday in Advent, which is in December. It's a long season, but it's also a green season. Green season. It reminds us that it's summertime now, all the green around us. And the children's program of Godly Play calls this season green growing time. We are invited to grow into discipleship with Jesus. It's a little, though, like summer school. Each Sunday, we have a new lesson. If you listen carefully, each Sunday, there is a new lesson. But these are not lessons that we're going to grade, nor are they to be ticked off on a syllabus, nor are they to be written and then memorized. These lessons are not to learn how to do discipleship. They are given to us to form us into disciples. Not to do, but to be. Not just to learn about Jesus, but come to know him. The lesson for today, we heard in our gospel, is listen. Did you hear that a couple times? Listen. And of course, the lesson today is in the form of a parable. A parable. Jesus just loves to preach in parables. He speaks, he tells stories in parables, and each parable portrays something about the reign of God, something about what the kingdom of God is like, what the intention of God is as life evolves from God's love for creation in Eden and eventually returns back to God. It sounds a bit confusing, doesn't it? Well, that's what a parable is. A parable is a puzzle. It's an enigma. It's a riddle. And the only thing that it really does well is to describe a mystery, which, of course, you can't do. And if you listen closely, if you open your ears, you will hear the first and the last word of the parable that we heard today. Now, the parable was in the first part of our reading today. Second part was different. The first part of our reading began with the word listen and ended with the word listen. Apparently, there's something important about listening. And maybe that's because parables should be heard and not read. What Jesus proclaimed or the stories he told were written down at the time of his ministry, not until many years after he died. This that Jesus was in was an oral culture. The wisdom was passed on by mouth and received by ear. All of the stories were orally shared. And Jesus knows that stories heard were better remembered than lessons taught. Now think about that in your life. You remember stories, don't you? But maybe not lessons that were taught to you. So he told these stories, and their images of these stories were steeped in the experiences of ordinary people, the crowd that's around him right now. But there was always a twist in the story, something unexpected, something a little out of whack. Parables are like diamonds. That's one big diamond. Parables are like diamonds, you see. because no matter which way you turn it, you see a different facet. Turning it shows you something different. So there's never just one answer, never one facet, never one way of looking at it, or in this case, of hearing it. Maybe one facet of the diamond, if I really think about it, frames, let's say, the sower in this parable. The sower scatters that seed with abandon, sometimes missing, often missing, the cultivated ground. And the seed goes to places where farmers in the crowd know that it cannot grow. Seeds, you see, are treasured by the farmers. They are kept in safe places in the wintertime, and they are hoarded. And then at sowing time, a limited amount is all you have. So you use it with caution. It's a waste of time and effort and seeds, precious seeds, to fling them. This is the twist. Why would a good farmer be so careless with his seeds? So if we turn the diamond and away from the sower and maybe look at the part that talks about good soil. Now that makes sense. Soil that is tended will grow a good crop. Of course, this also depends on the whims of the weather, too. You know, the rain and the sun and all those bugs and predators that come. But even so, how could this good soil return a harvest 100-fold? This is the twist. 100-fold? This is the part of the parable that makes no sense. Often, there are people in the crowd who hear Jesus' stories and they just scoff. They look at him like he's crazy and they walk away. Some people in the crowd listen to Jesus and then they begin to wonder. These people have come to know Jesus by listening to his words of blessing to the poor and the persecuted, by watching him healing and compassionately touching people. And they begin to turn that diamond over and over. And they begin to ponder. And they ask themselves questions. Who might the sower be? What is the seed? What makes good soil? And soon they begin to gather into groups that follow Jesus and listen again and again to his stories and share amongst themselves their wondering and their questions. Because every time Jesus shares his stories, you always hear something different. And all the stories, in particular, there are 7 parables in this, the 13th chapter of Matthew. All these stories, these parables, when put together, seem to have a common theme. They are about small things that transform into flourishing abundance, flourishing blessing beyond imagination. So, after he speaks the parable, Jesus then takes his disciples aside. And he explains to them in an allegory the parable images. He tells them what the thorns mean and what the rocks mean and what the path means and what the good soil means. But he doesn't necessarily tell them the meaning of the parable. That they have to ponder for themselves. These fishermen and tax collector, these people who are following him, they know little of sowing and growing in the field, so they needed a little tutorial there before they could move along any further. So hearing that even, maybe they keep turning the facets and they wonder, okay, what do I have to do to be good soil? What do I have to do to be good soil? Well, I can cultivate myself by steeping in study of Scripture, what God says to the prophets, what the psalmists say to God, how the people of God alternatively all through time receive and reject the goodness of God, and how God somehow decides to call them back and give them another chance, time after time. Maybe my good soil can also be enhanced by prayer. Jesus taught us to pray, but I think he also taught us to listen for God in prayer. But I know there's a lot I have no control over, like the sun and the rain and the predators. If I think of good soil being, though, as a community, not just me alone, but all of us with our questions wondering together, a congregation, maybe there's more potential for growth of that seed. If that community are faithful followers of Jesus, that good soil, maybe together we can confront the threats that threaten the seeds together. But I also know the good soil needs tending. It needs to be cleared. It needs to be open to receive the seeds. Cleared and open. There are a lot of communities who call themselves Christian, but they cannot get caught in the thorns of racism, bigotry of all forms, polarization of ideology and politics, and any temptations that trap us like thorns from respecting the dignity of every human being, from serving and seeking Christ in all persons, and for striving for justice. Some communities who call themselves Christian cannot let the soil bake hard. Some communities let the soil bake hard so that the seed can be snatched. The looming threats, for instance, of climate change is often ignored with those of hardened hearts, who also overlook the displacement of starving people and conjure up maneuvers to keep them from soiling their precious shores. Communities who call themselves Christians cannot be rocky places of simplistic faith, where wondering is discouraged, where questions have only one answer, and where the rocky crevices hide hate and fear. And so let's ponder, who might this sower be? This lavish sower? And what might be the thread? The seed, what might be the seed? We can keep listening to this parable as we do all the time, and we keep turning it this way and that and look at all the facets of it, and perhaps we can share some insight with one another into what may be coming closer and closer to what Jesus wants us to know, closer and closer to Jesus. The one constant, the one indisputable thing we know about Jesus is that he is given to us by God in love. That's all. That throughout history of God and God's people, God has loved us, creating us with delight, redeeming us with sacrificial forgiveness, and sustaining us throughout eternity. with love. So perhaps love is the seed. And perhaps Jesus wants us to know the sower. He wants us to know the sower who scatters the seed so lavishly, the seed of love flinging out, not because the sower is careless, but because the sower knows there is no limit to the love that is scattered. There is no limit to the amount of love that can be flung. Because the sower knows love may fail, the sower knows love may fall into unhealthy ground, but it will never be lost. Because the sower sows with grace and the hope that the harvest will be so fruitful by the work of our hands and the hearts that it will multiply 100-fold. And because the sower's promise is consistent throughout history, since before creation, that the harvest is flourishing love. Listen, listen. How we come to know Jesus more deeply in this green growing time. How will we come to hear the voice of Jesus? How can anyone with ears not listen?